It's now time to talk football, and the Socceroos FIFA World Cup qualifiers start at home to Vietnam next Thursday. That's January the 27th in Melbourne. With an away to follow in Oman, that's just 5 days later. Wins in both of those matches would see things really in Group B get back in their favour, you'd have to say, and they'd definitely be putting pressure on Japan and current leaders Saudi Arabia. So to talk about their preparations and the expectations, it's great to be joined by Socceroos coach Graham Arnold. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Very, very well. And obviously your good mate Phil Moss with me here this morning as well. The Socceroos, obviously, in the time of COVID, I'm sure as a man who likes to prepare meticulously, things are just a little bit different.
Yeah, look, there is their challenges. And obviously those challenges get thrown at us and have been thrown at us over the last 12 months with, we played 14 World Cup qualifiers. We played 12 away from home. And, it was a bit of an experience losing players down due to COVID, but also staff members along the way. But, I always have a high belief and high expectations of the players' mentality and commitment to the team, but also high expectations of the staff as well. And whatever challenge gets thrown at us, we will deal with.
Arnie, I know how much you love being on the pitch with your players, and thanks for joining us this morning. We all know players look forward to games, but going from club coaching into international, you've been there now 4 years. How do you feel as a coach going into a camp like this?
Yeah, look, I feel great, to be honest, Mossy. It's exciting, and, when you look back on those 4 years, you say, and I am a person that loves to be on the field. I love helping players and coaching them. I've coached 24 games in the last 4 years, and obviously with the pandemic and having no games for quite a while was tough, but that's the reason I took the Olympic team. I wanted to be on the pitch more. I wanted to help the kids more. And so with that side of it, I got about another 14 games with the Olympic team. So, I go into this game, as I said, with a lot of excitement and just to see the Socceroos back on home soil down here in a sold-out stadium at Amy Park, where the game sold out within a couple of days. It just shows you how big the Socceroos brand is. And, of course, the boys are looking forward to getting back and playing and getting moving forward again.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that decision to take on the Aussie Roos. I noticed in today's papers, and I'm not asking you to confirm or deny this, but Marco Tilio and Joel King are a couple of names from the A-League who I know were involved with the Aussie Roos and maybe up for selection in this squad. Was that one of the main reasons that you took the Aussie Roos, apart from getting more coaching for yourself, to really give these young kids some more exposure?
Yeah, look, hadn't qualified for 12 years for the Olympics, and I truly believe that the Olympic team is a Socceroos B team, and it's an under-23 team that, all the talent should be on the field and playing by then and being given the opportunity to play for the Socceroos. So the Olympic journey really created and helped create some depth. When I went to the 2018 World Cup, when I first took over, I knew that Mile Jednak, Tim Cahill, Mark Milligan, we're not going to make it to Qatar and we're going to retire, plus some other players that we're not going to reach it. So it was important then was where I was going to get the depth from. So that's why I took on the Olympic team. And as I said, I'm maybe it's just me, but I just have this really huge belief in Australian kids. I think that, they showed at the Olympics by beating Argentina and shocking the world that they had the quality, they had the ability. But maybe they don't have the consistency, and the consistency comes from obviously getting a lot of game time and playing at their clubs here in Australia, and pretty much that wasn't happening before COVID, but that has happened of late, and the kids are really stepping up, and since the Olympics, you look at Riley McGree, he's just made a £5 million transfer to Middlesbrough. Denis Jonneau left Australia and is now playing in France. And we've got a great number of kids now, probably 7 or 8 from that Olympic team playing overseas. And here in Australia, those boys who were on that Olympic journey are doing very well in the A-League. So, as I said, I've got a lot of belief and trust in the kids, and I do believe they'll do well for us.
Yeah, now I know you announced the squad for these two games against Vietnam and Oman later today. I'm assuming there'll be some players who were unavailable through either injury or COVID. Are you happy with the makeup of the squad that you're going to announce later today and the condition of the players, the match minutes they're getting?
Well, that's it, Bossy. You know, it's obviously there's some players out that for certain different reasons around COVID. There's also some players that are out through injury. And some players that haven't kicked the ball for 2 to 3 months, whether that's in Europe, some A-League clubs here that played much less game time than others due to COVID and postponement of games. So one of the main things I looked at was with this squad for these games is match minutes and the players that are playing regular football over the last month, players that are getting match minutes and are fit and ready for, you know, 2 games in 5 days. And being available for this camp.
Graeme, we had the pleasure of speaking to Brian Gorgian, NBL coach, during the show this week, and you could make a case that he's one of the greatest coaches this country's ever seen. It was interesting talking to him just about how he balances coaching and real life and some of his philosophies. Just your evolution as a coach and a manager and what you look to as your touchstones for bettering yourself in that balance of coach and life.
Yeah, look, I think, Ryan, I think there's one thing I've learned through COVID and that is, and what I have improved on is probably man management skills. I feel more like less of a coach because I only get one training session with the players when they come in, especially with a lack of flights into Australia. But I do feel that I'm more of a player welfare officer now, where you've really got to reach out and communicate to the players much more than probably what you used to in the past. In the past, you just send a letter or an email, and that's happened for years, that the player is selected. But I think there's more to it these days, especially with, you know, we've got players all around the world, different countries, there's different rules in different countries on quarantining and all and self-isolation, all that stuff, that you you really have to reach out to the player and see how his family is as well and see if there's any issues on that side of it, as well as making sure that the player mentally himself is ready for the ready to fly, ready to come to play and show the commitment that we expect to play for Australia. So, you know, probably when I was at Clubland and I was more, it was more about routine. I wasn't as flexible as I am now in terms of, you know, having to do things different ways because, as I said, at club level, it was much more rigid. We did it my way or it was the highway. But now it's, we've got to make it work. And as I said, it's more about the communication side of things and the care factor and making sure that, first and foremost, the players are mentally right and then physically right. Technically, they have the quality, and tactically, I get probably 10 minutes on the training pitch to work on any type of tactics. So if the brain's not clear, if the brain's not ready, then all those other things go out the window.
Well, I can speak from experience, Ryan. It might have been Arnie's way or the highway in Clubland, but he still gave his staff plenty of responsibility, which is the sign of a good leader. What about the A-League, Arnie? You've obviously been watching the games. What have you made of the season so far? It's obviously been very stop-start with COVID, very frustrating for players and hard to hold coaches to account for results as well without the rhythm and routines that we like in football.
Yeah, look, I think, again, on the coaches' side of it, all the A-League coaches will come out probably after this, learning a lot because you just can't be rigid in, you know, in your planning. You've got to be real flexible and it changes day to day. You know, I think, obviously, the A-League kicked off late due to COVID. It was a longer off-season than normal. But I truly believe that, you know, the first few games, you could see the boys, there was ring rust. A lot of players weren't getting through the games, but it's improving week after week. And you can see the boys getting back to their normal quality and rhythm. So, you know, there's some exciting young kids out there, some exciting players. And, you know, there's some good games to watch. And, you know, as I said, at the end of the day, the Australian kids a lot more are getting a go now, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, getting opportunities, as you mentioned before, with the Olympic team and their performance against Argentina, but also seeing young guys getting their chance in strong international competitions. Riley McGree recently made the move to Middlesbrough. Why is it important for players like him, do you think, to play in competitions like the Championship?
Well, Ron, I just, you know, a lot of those kids, when I took them over with the Olympic team, you could tell, I felt, and you could see that they had the quality, but they didn't have the consistency, as I said, but they didn't have the belief in themselves. And, you know, when you're maybe at a club and you're not playing, you know, in the old days, you used to say you got dropped. These days, I do believe that the players feel like they're getting rejected, and it's a mental it hits them harder mentally than probably what it did in the old days. So it's about nurturing them through and explaining to them why they're not playing or giving them a reason why they're not playing so they can work on it. So when we went to the Olympics and we went across there, you could see that when we did leave there, and it was disappointing the way we ended up finishing the Olympics, but you could see that the boys finally believed that they belonged, and they truly believed that they were good enough. You know, when I heard them speaking after we lost to Spain, in the 82nd minute, Spain scored 1-0. They had some players. They had six players that you know, made the semi-finals of the Euros just before. And you could hear our players saying, geez, we're as good as them. You know, we can do this. And it's just the belief that the kids can make get in themselves. And then they go off on their own journey, like they did years ago. And, you know, and they go to a level where they belong. They get better and better because they're playing. They're not playing 26 rounds a year in the A-League. They're playing 46 to 50 games a year in Europe, and they're playing against better players. And so, obviously, then their performances get better. They get physically stronger, mentally stronger, and they become better players.
We're talking to Socceroos head coach Graham Arnold this morning ahead of the two World Cup qualifiers coming up against Vietnam and Oman. Arnie, just before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, talking of going to another level and testing yourselves at higher levels, you've coached overseas. Obviously, we see Ange Postecoglou at Celtic at the moment, Kevin Muscat in Japan, Joe Montemurro in a women's game at Juventus. How important is that for Australian coaches, and how important is it for Australian coaches to have that ambition to go abroad?
Oh, look, I think, and put Michael Balkanis in there as well, Mossy in Greece, and that. I think it's, you know, it's a bit like back in the 80s, late 80s, 90s, when Australian players first started going overseas to play overseas, and Ange is doing fantastic, and he's creating a pathway for Australian coaches. But, you know, I do believe that Australian coaches are underrated. You know, I sat one time with Jose Mourinho when Sydney FC, we played against Chelsea, and I sat down, had a coffee with him for a couple of hours, and he couldn't get his head around how we could coach with a salary cap. He's like, how do you do that? Mm. Because you only get $2.3 million to spend for 23 players. How can you do that? And then I said to him, well, it's all about, you know, recruitment and finding good kids and developing. And he said, wow, that's amazing. And it was great to hear someone like that who gets an open checkbook in the Premier League that could buy whoever he wants. And I think when you see and what Ange is doing, especially at Celtic, and bringing those Japanese players in that he's had the experience of coaching against in Japan, Ange is doing a fantastic job, and he knows the market so well. And the Japanese players are going over there and doing great for him. That, you know, I think with Australian coaches, we go through the system, we have a huge amount of passion, we have a great work ethic. That you know, we also, you know, we cover a lot of details, and you know, I think that Australian coaches have got a great pathway in the future.
So, Graham, finally, obviously, as I mentioned at the top, next Thursday against Vietnam, then the following Wednesday, a trip to Oman. You really want to be putting pressure in Group B on Japan and Saudi Arabia. So do you see these two games as opportunity to really make a statement with this squad? What are your expectations?
Yes, Ryan. Look, my expectations are two wins. You know, as I said before, you know, we've The China result was disappointing. We've got everything in our own hands. And with what we've been through with this pandemic, where, as I said, we played 12 out of 14 games away from home, and still to today have everything in our own hands is crucial. So, you know, people might look at it that we're not in a great position. Well, you know, we are 1 point more than what we were, you know, 4 years ago after six games. And as I said, we've got everything in our own hands. And what's happened in the past is in the past. That's gone. That's behind us. That's a life experience that we can talk about, you know, many years to come. But what's in front of us is four games. And my expectations and my mentality is we go out there and we win all four games. And we win all four games, we're directly qualified.
Well, Arnie, your commitment and your passion to this Socceroos side is precisely why it's a sellout against Vietnam next Thursday. You've got Australians really behind this national team, and hopefully there's really bright things ahead, and you're going to get us to where we need to be. So best of luck next Thursday and also next Wednesday, but beyond with the Socceroos. Thanks, Graham, for joining us this morning.
Mate, thank you very much, Ryan. Thanks, Mossy.